Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good morning and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and I hope everyone had a wonderful Labor Day holiday weekend, that you got to play some tennis, watch some tennis, enjoy this last of our summer. Fall is quickly approaching, and that you just got to spend some great time with family and friends. We had kind of a lazy weekend around our house. We are still trying to get our son ready to head off to Santa Clara University. He's leaving on September 18th, and so things are a little hectic around here, trying to get him all packed up and make sure he has everything he needs. I forgot how difficult it is sending a child all the way across the country for college and all the pre-planning that goes into that. But we're getting our act together, and I think we'll be all set by next Friday. So today we are going to be talking with Oscar Wegner and also with Susan Nardi, Chuck Tomlin, and John Carpenter about Oscar's modern tennis methodology, which is a teaching and coaching method for tennis that can be used for juniors, adults, entry level, rec level, professional level, collegiate level, all different types of players. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with them and getting the show underway. Before I bring them on the air, though, I do want to play a quick commercial. And when we come back, modern tennis methodology.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
Welcome back to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we are going to be talking about MTM, that's Modern Tennis Methodology, and I'm really looking forward to the show today. I have one of our guests on the line, and give me just one second to bring him on. I'm guessing this is either Chuck or John.
This is Chuck and John. We're in the same room.
Well, how about that? That's awesome. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. This is Chuck Tomlin.
Hey, Chuck. So, Chuck, I'll start with you. Do you want to give us a little bit of background on modern tennis methodology, the MTM approach to teaching tennis, and how you guys are using that here in Atlanta, and maybe talk a little bit about the conference that's coming up?
Well, I'm going to defer to some of the other guys about some of the things about modern tennis as far as how it's been developed through the years. But what we're doing here in Atlanta is we're doing a seminar here where we're making it available for a lot of people to come in and hear some of the top minds in modern tennis. We got John, of course, and we've got Susan Nardi and Lucille. And then, of course, on top of all that, we have Oscar himself coming into town. And then I think Russell Grogan, those kind of things. we're trying to make it available because it, you know, I grew up under traditional tennis and a lot of influence there, but I found a tremendous amount of shortcomings where it where the traditional methods, the classic methods, just fell short of what we were wanting to accomplish. I had an older son who's now in the Air Force, but he came up. We worked very traditional, and there was just certain things that, even though he had tons of talent that he struggled with, that I felt like modern tennis really addressed much better than traditional and classic had. And that's where I sought out Oscar and some of the other professionals, and the rest is sort of history for me.
Wow, that's great. Well, I think that this conference is such an awesome opportunity for people in the Atlanta area to come out and learn about MTM, and I'm pleased. I was asked to present at the conference as well, and so for the parents in the area, I hope you'll come out and, you know, give your support to what's going on out there. Bring your kids. We have one of our other folks on the line. Let me just see who has joined us. Area code 805. Who's joined
Oscar.
Us? Oscar, yay!
Oscar right here also. Yeah, but I don't have the PIN number. What is the
You don't
PIN
need
number?
It. You don't need it. You don't need
when
it, Oscar. We've got you on the line. You're good. You're on the line. You're on the air live with us.
Perfect.
Okay, so Oscar, welcome to the show. We've got John Carpenter and Chuck Tomlin on as well. Oscar, do you want to give us a little bit of background on MTM and how you came to develop that method of teaching?
Okay. Well, I studied engineering first, you know, and I finally got on the tour between 1966 and 1967, and I had a couple of things I didn't realize until I finished the tour and started working with Pancho Segura, and I said, Pancho, why are we teaching, why don't we teach the way the best players play, right, rather than all these techniques? And he agreed, and then we discussed it, and I started teaching very natural, just observing, because I had practiced with Pancho Gonzalez, with Rob Laver. I played on the tour. I played all the best players. You know, and so I thought, let's copy the best pros. Let's not do our own ideas. Let's copy the pros. And Pancho Segura was very helpful. He was at the Beverly Hills Tennis Club, and I was working with him. And we started doing that, and it went great. My students were John Heston, Diana Storr, Steve Douglas family, and all of them, and Dean Martin Jr., and they loved it. They loved it, and then so I decided that was the route to go way, way back. And I ended up coaching Spain, coaching Brazil, coaching in our case that became really good for Spain, then coaching Gustavo Kurt in Brazil, became number one in the world. I coached when he was 14, but they were simple. So it's something that I did because he was.
Oscar, are you on a landline? Oscar, are you on a landline?
No,
you keep.
Yeah,
you keep
Oscar,
cutting
why don't you
out.
Go ahead and call back in. On what happened was
you
called my
number,
phone looking for the number. Go ahead and call back in.
Give me a number to call. The 714 number that I have. Sorry.
836853.
Yes, that's the right number, Oscar.
Don't give it to me again.
714-583.
B6853.
Say it slowly, please, because it will cut off.
714-583-6853.
Okay, 6853. I'll call
right
back. Thank you.
Okay, great. So Chuck and John, do y'all want to get into a little more of the specifics of what you're going to be doing at the conference next weekend?
Yeah, sure. Like I said, my name's John Carpenter. I actually live in Ojai, California. I flew out here to meet with Chuck and the other coaches here. And what we're going to be doing is at the conference on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and if anybody wants to look at it, all they have to do is do Tennis Kids for Life. If they go to that website, just Google Tennis Kids for Life, and there's a complete schedule of events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, we've got events for 10 and under kids to get in free. We're going to have coaches all around from the Atlanta area. We may even have some besides myself that are coming from out of state. And because there's basically a movement in tennis to simplify instruction. Oscar Wegner, you know, you heard his accent. He was born in Argentina. He's now an American citizen. And he's been fighting this battle for 40 years to simplify tennis instruction. And coaches like myself, Susan Nardi, Chuck Tomlin, who's done something hardly any coach on the face of the earth has ever done. He's developed two players from scratch, a boy and a girl, to win college D1 scholarships. And yet, even with that kind of coaching ability, he had some holes. He wondered why they didn't make pros, just like I coached for 20 years and wondered why my kids weren't getting better, why 90% of my kids, 3 or 4 years later, gave up the game of tennis. And then I thought it was me. And, you know, I'm pretty knowledgeable. I mean, I could quote Vic Braden and all the masters word for word. And yet my students were still leaving until I started checking the record books and noticed that all the other coaches' students were still leaving. It was just like there was just one, maybe 5-10% of the kids took tennis lessons and they were playing tennis 5 years later. And I was alarmed by that. So I was always looking for simplified new ways to make tennis simple. And then one day, I was handed a video, and I actually called the number off the website, because now the Internet makes it real easy to communicate, and find out and test the data. And I got in touch with Oscar Wegner himself. He answered the phone, and he started telling me why I wasn't getting the good results. And he said, listen, he goes, we make tennis too complicated. And he says, if a child can't rally back and forth within their first couple hours of lessons, you're going to lose them. And so they go join other sports. And so I started testing the data, and I went from an unknown tennis coach, who I was the guy they gave all the, you know, just the numbers, you know, the leftover kids from all the, you know, the big head pros and everything. Well, basically, I got the kind of results using this method where they were looking at hiring, you know, former top 100 players in the world as head pros, you know, people who had won Grand Slams as head pros. And all of a sudden, I realized that I could teach tennis better than the so-called great players. And I challenged, in St. Louis, I made a challenge to the board. I said, bring me your worst kids, and I will turn them into tennis players. And I said, that's what we need to grow tennis. This was a facility, 19 courts, very famous in the St. Louis area, produced many great players. And the bottom line was, using modern tennis methodology, I was able to go ahead and show that I could get results that no other coach could get. I wound up starting at AAA in St. Louis, got promoted to assistant head pro, and then when the job opened up over at Dwight Davis Tennis Center, I literally challenged the board, bring me your worst student, and I will make them rally back and forth and look like a pro within 1 hour. And they said, well, how are you going to make them look like a pro? They don't even know how to play tennis. And I said, I will make them look like a pro in form. And that's what modern tennis methodology does. So you can take almost anybody, regardless of age. I've taught people with two artificial knees. I've taught four-year-olds. And the bottom line is I've gotten results that I could only dream of before. I feel like I can coach any level player. I've been honored to speak for the USPTA, who's flown me around to tennis conferences and things like that, that never could have been possible. But people are interested in learning how to play tennis if it's easy, and nobody makes it easier than Oscar Wegner.
John, yeah, I don't know if you can hear me, but I witnessed all of that. You know, when I was invited to St. Louis, you know, you invite me first, and then the owner of the Aces, the tennis team in St. Louis, invited me for like 3 weeks, you know. And so I saw that a lot of coaches, you know, could get the same results. And I actually, with John Carpenter, we started the Modern Tennis Methodology Coaches Association, and then it took off, and now it has hundreds of coaches, you know. And so it's something that, John, you were very early, you know, into this, and a very good teacher, and so are many coaches now that teach these techniques, and I want to keep passing it on to anybody we can.
So our audience here at Parenting Aces is comprised mostly of the parents of junior players. And for the most part, these are kids that are playing junior tournaments, either USTA, ITF, or other junior tournaments. And again, for the most part, kids that have the goal of playing college tennis. Chuck, you have developed your own kids, you developed other kids to play college tennis. What are we missing? Why are so many of these kids falling through the cracks or not getting to the level where the college coaches are paying attention to them?
Well, you know, there's not a simple answer, although that, you know, you get into some details, but a lot of it has to do with details that have been added in. You know, I think one of the biggest things MTM does is brings it down to the basics. And not having false data, not having false information that they're working for. For example, I think one particular example that I think is huge is that a lot of the pros still teach, if not most of them, still teach that when you get a short ball attack type situation where you're stepping into the court and get inside the baseline and attack, you know, where you try to end points and put on a lot of pressure, most coaches still teach to try to step forward and get your weight into the shot and down the target line there, and trying to push out through the ball. I think it really hurts our kids and makes them not able to be as consistent on that shot as they should be, as well as, you know, not as effective, you know, not able to get the same spin that they need to get that control. So that's just one tiny example of an element of the game that I personally think is a real important part, you know, because I think if you go to matches, you see that a lot of these kids can rally. In fact, almost all of them can rally pretty darn well. But mm-hmm. then when it comes time to get in and attack and finish points or put a lot of pressure on in a point, that's where I think you see the big difference.
And so with MTM, is the focus on technique mainly, or is there also a tactical, strategic component to the training?
Okay, you want me to answer that, or Chuck, you want
sure.
to answer? I can. Okay, let me tell you. What I've done is make tennis easy, natural, you know, in just in a very short terms, I'm going to tell you, the body likes circular motions, and that's what we should be teaching. And we're teaching linear tennis instead of letting the body have circular motions. Just like what happened, you know, when Bruce Lee, you know, revolutionized martial arts. He started doing a lot more circular motions, and the people felt more natural also doing that, and today it has been adopted in most forms of martial arts, where in tennis is the same thing, and that's what we do with the kids. We say, get to the ball, you know, instead of pushing through forward, you know, you go across, you pull from the racket, and then it's all natural, less effort, you know, more efficient, more effective, more power actually, but including the ball rotation that you acquire, which makes it the ball heavier, you know, because of their resistance. You're using nature to your advantage, but not only the looks, you know, of the sport, but also the physical effort involved. It's so easy for a kid to do it that they rally incredible. And then I did an experiment in Brazil in a college with 16 women from the university that played volleyball. So they all were good athletes, good hand-eye coordination, and they were 20, 21 years old. Well, within 1 hour, the ones that never played before, because 14 of them never have played, two have played a little bit. One of them hit 120 balls back and forth without missing within two tries. You know, I say you only have two tries. And if you make more than 20 balls back and forth the first try, you don't get a second try. Another hit 90, 60. Okay, all the ones that never played before, within an hour, you know, and then there was the test, you know, we're able to hit over 50 balls back and forth without missing. From almost from the baseline, just a little bit inside the baseline, and I had a coach inside the other baseline, hitting to the forehand only because that's the only stroke to learn. You know, then, you know, a little bit more time than we did the hand, the two-handed in first backhand because I thought it was easier for them to learn. And some wanted to go try one hand, and they were having same success. And then the serve, we did it in a very natural way, being near the net and then stepping back as they were getting the ball in a very natural way. And they say, wow, this is like we serve in volleyball. So this is what happens. This can be applied to any beginner and not derail them, you know, with a sideways to the ball, then it becomes baseball, linear, you know, strokes, or like golf, you know. Tennis has its own particular thing, and the open stance has a lot to do with it because that's how you stand with when you shake hands. If you turn over to the right, you know, sideways, it's so much harder, you know, to shake hands and you lose your balance. This is just like shaking hands. This is one the things that I've been proponing, but I've been fought for so many years. You know, go ahead.
So is there also a movement component to your method, Oscar?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You run to the ball the same way you run after your dog, or you move in your kitchen, or you go shopping. You know, you turn, you look. You know, they saw rotations. You learn to do that when you were 2-3 years old. Why are teaching, you know, yeah, steps sideways, you know, to run for the ball and all that? It makes players more tired. And you observe it from the top players. You know, I remember looking at Agassi running for a distant ball. The guy turned and ran. He didn't like this step sideways to the ball. So that's another of the things that makes kids less athletic, you know, and slower. So The footwork, yeah, I actually have DVDs and publications on that. And I can show it to you, on the court, and that's where we like to do. So the simplicity, the naturality, and how we need to drop some of the conventional ideas of the past.
Got it. So, again, going back to tactics and strategy, John, can you maybe address that a little bit and how MTM teaches the various tactics during play? Because we all know, I mean, kids need to learn good technique, good movement. That's the basis of the game. But once they develop that, tactics and strategy become very important as well. And in my experience, just with my child, that's where a lot of coaches drop the ball.
And that's a good point. But see, tactics, maximum tactics and strategy is possible, first of all, if you have feel and control. And until you have feel and control, you're not going to be able to use maximum tactics. For example, for 20 years as a certified tennis coach giving lessons, I taught hit 3 feet from the baseline. That was the mantra. You heard it at every coaching convention, hit 3 feet from the baseline. Now, pretty much everybody acknowledges, because of Oscar's work and MTM, the Modern Coaches Association, Modern Tennis Methodology Coaching Association that we formed, we've had an influence in the game of tennis, whether it gets credited or not. And you'll see that in a book that I have coming out in 2016, The Real History of USA Tennis Instruction, How the Eyes Couldn't See What the Mind Didn't Know. Now, it makes sense. If you hit a ball deep, you know, you're probably going to the casual observer, to the tennis coaches, we all thought, hit every ball 3 feet from the baseline. Go for that shot. And here's why I believe American players and Oscar alluded to it earlier, are not winning the college scholarships. Why are so many foreign-born players dominating the game? Because they hit with so much topspin and circular momentum, circular. They move in circles across the ball. In other words, they call it the modern windshield wiper. And here we're being taught to hit through the ball and focus hitting 3 feet from the baseline. Well, Oscar claimed from 40 years ago that more shots are hit from having played the Pro Tour. He knew that Laver and the big topspin guys and Manolo Santana, who he patterned the swing after, the technique after of Spain, that more balls hit near the service line than the baseline. Now, you wouldn't think that. But then when ShotSpot came along on the Tennis Channel and ESPN, and you were able to actually show where the balls landed, everybody went, oh, my gosh, I can hit the ball nearer the service line, not ever have to worry about hitting it from the baseline and still keep the player deep because the ball hits and kicks. And one of the things we'll demonstrate in our clinics this weekend, and we have advanced players. If you know, Lisa, if you're around, I suggest you bring your child. I guarantee you she'll walk away wanting to play more tennis, even if she's been discouraged, because I've done it over and over again. Oh, my child tried tennis lessons, didn't like it. But all of a sudden, you teach them how to rally, how to have success, use their large muscles. So even a tiny – I've had the youngest child ever admitted to a United States Academy back in 2005. It's possible that there's somebody younger than four since then. But the way I was able to do it was using these techniques, and I focused on hitting up, spinning the ball. I never even have to mention the word topspin because they hit with the circular momentum. The ball lands, kicks, and today if you watch players – and we'll demonstrate this weekend. I will hit balls 3 feet from the baseline perfectly. I can almost hit the baseline every time just holding a ball in my hand. And you think, okay, great, you're keeping the player driven behind the baseline. Well, guess what? Using topspin, I can hit 6 inches from the service line, and still the ball will not land till almost, if it doesn't hit the fence, it's going to land near the back fence. So what's that mean? Why risk hitting near the baseline? So what happens is, particularly amongst our juniors, we're all hitting shots 3 inches out, 4 inches out, because we don't have enough circular momentum, or angular momentum, they call it, in the technical world of coaching. And that's what we don't understand, that when you teach tennis, it's like Albert Einstein said, if a six-year-old can't understand it, guess what? An adult probably can't either. And that's what Oscar Wegner developed. How he developed a tennis method from the player's point of view, and Chuck has invented something called smart targets that will be featured in this book. You know, a lot of
John,
people
before you go further, let me just give an anecdote, a short anecdote, and then we'll let Chuck also get into with the smart target, because that's a great development. Okay, yesterday, you may have seen, you know, Kevin Anderson beat Murray.
Mm-hmm.
In hitting huge balls, okay, and then very much because he hits it as hard as he can, but he puts topspin, the ball goes near the baseline. He's just intending to get in the court and just blast through it. And who is the coach who was doing the hitting, you know, with the hand, you know, and they're still doing it when they get together, they're still doing it because Kevin Anderson moved to Boca Raton and this guy's in Stewart. Mike Daly, one of our early coaches, I met him maybe like 20 years ago down in near Boca Raton, you know, and then he has been coaching Kevin Anderson, and you can see Kevin Anderson, well, he's a tall guy, big, but he gets every ball in the court, and that's the most important piece of data. And the anecdote is that I coached Bjorn Borg for his second comeback, and he was the guy who won 5 Wimbledons, 6 French Opens. You know, he was, 5 Wimbledons in 5 consecutive years. Okay, one of the best ever. In all he said, you know, as a tactic, as a basic tactic, and then when you accomplish that, you can go on all the rest. He says, to beat somebody, you have to get the ball in the court one more time than your opponent. He was
yes.
The best player in the world. Yeah. And so And so I loved it because that's the type of coaching I do. Once you get your confidence, then you can go for your shot. But first you have to be able to get it in the court no matter how hard you hit it. But how hard is no linear power. It's rotation. You blast the ball, you hit it as hard as you can, you know, but it goes on the court. It clears the net a little bit higher. It goes down on the court, and then it kicks, just like John was saying. So that would be the number one tactic. Well, there's a lot more, and Chuck can explain you about a little bit about smart targets, because some of the people and some of the coaches would love to learn about that too.
Go ahead, Chuck.
All right, Chuck, you're on.
All right. Well, you know, based on what Oscar's taught us about rotation and getting the ball in the court, you know, through learning it and studying, one of the terms I came up with is, you know, because I realized all these kids can hit the ball, and they can all hit it hard, all hit with power. But the real skill is being able to bring that ball down. You know, that's one of the ways that I've developed as seeing it. Being able to bring the ball down is the real skill that I see. Because if you can hit it big, you know, bringing it down into the court, that's another way of saying what Oscar's talking about there, hitting it in the court one more time. Smart targets. I was looking at the idea of giving more guidance to the kids about where to hit on the court. You know, because my theory was is that, you know, we really need to hit the ball into the right spot of the court. You know, in other words, you see a lot of people throw in shots that look pretty good, but they're not falling in the right part of the court, and they may even get hit back harder than they hit them. But if you put them in the right parts of the court, then it tends to put a challenge on their opponent. And so I said, well, how can I help these kids understand? You know, when you start trying to explain it, trying to explain every little nuance of it and everything can get sort of complicated and detailed. And we know we need to keep it simple. You know, that's this need to keep it simple. So I was thinking about that, and I came up with an idea there, what we call the smart targets, which was an area of the court on each side. So you could look at it as one target, but, you know, you have the same mirrored on both sides, so it gives you two targets. And we figured that we're going to give a margin for error so it's not too close to the lines. But at the same time, it's a target area that if you hit there, it really puts a challenge on your opponent to cover that ball. So it's a general idea of where you need to hit most of your balls. Now, there's always exceptions. Drop shot would be an exception. Return of a big first serve, you might want to jam it right back at the server. But for the general rally shot and the general short ball attack, you know, you got these two triangles on the court that express an area on the court that gives you a good margin for error. It doesn't put you close to the lines where you're very likely to miss. But at the same time, they will really challenge and stretch your opponents. And so that's where, you know, I came up with the smart targets, because I felt it was smart if you could accomplish those two things, challenge your opponent while keeping your risk level down. And then, of course, all of that is dependent on your ability to bring the ball down, as Oscar teaches with the modern technique. And,
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so that pretty much covers it there. You know, now one thing that I do add for singles, you know, we're mostly talking about singles, is an avoid zone. There's also an area that I figured out as part of the smart target system is an area, a small area near the tee there that we really don't want the balls to be in, you know. And one of the things that, you know, John was talking about how before when ShotSpot came out, how that was a big influence. I think I was one of the early guys to really point out that, hey, look at ShotSpot. Look at where the pros are hitting. Next time you see one of those diagrams at the U.S. Open, they usually show where the balls are landing. And you'll see that most of those balls, a large majority, say 80% of them, are landing in the area that I chose, or very near the area that I chose for the smart target triangles. And then one other thing I want to add to that, you know, is these targets, you know, don't feel like they're like a specific spot that you have to hit. They're really more of a reference. In other words, you can use them as a reference. Do you want to hit a slightly beyond them, slightly, you know, they give you a good reference on the court to judge where your shots are going and what they should be doing, you know. But it really handles a lot of the tactical decisions in a very simple either-or yes or no type method. You know, it's just two decisions. Do I want to hit here or there? And, you know, you don't have a whole lot of complicated mentality going on of trying to come up with what should I do? You know, oh, he's over here, so I need to do this special thing. When you have these smart targets really ingrained in your head, it helps you to see the court a little differently, and it makes the simple decisions very simple about where you
Yeah, simplicity. Lisa, that's the thing. He brought simplicity that the kids can practice and brings about something that I stressed in Europe, but yeah, Chuck put it very well defined, because I used to teach the kids, you know, these were the best Spanish kids, for example. That's where I was coaching the team, you know, the national team, to hit short cross courts, for example, because those were not only the safest, but you take your opponent off the court. And then that's the reason for Agassi's success. He hit those short cross courts so sharp that people were running, it was calculated, almost twice as much as Agassi ran in a match. They were calculating the distances. Why? Because Agassi brought him off the court. While in America, they were thinking more of the corner by the baseline, you know, in as the target for a cross court. I had these people hitting sharp cross courts, people running from side fence to side fence. And when you apply that in practice and the player becomes familiar with this and it becomes like, you can only do it with toasting, by the way. Otherwise, you cannot hit it hard, you know, and hit that sharp. You know, mm-hmm. It's like with the linear system, it's very difficult to do that. And so when the players get used to it, they excel. Even little kids, the kids that the USDA is showing, you know, with the little courts, you know, for kids that are so good, are all tossing players. They seem to be MTM players, you know, and they hit those sharp cross courts to get kids, you know, to the kids off the court, and they have an opening on the other side. So that is a basic tactic that we can show, and Chuck is showing very easily.
You brought up the short courts that, you know, that the ITF actually started with and mandated. How does MTM work with the red, orange, green ball system and that system of developing the youngest players?
Yeah, we actually, I have actually videos on YouTube that are for free, you know. You say, yeah, MTM and Quick Start, you know, or MTM for kids, you know. It's just people just look at that. Plus, we have in Tennis Kids for Life, you know, there is information there. And also, OscarTennisClub.com, there is a lot of free stuff there to look. You know, that shows how to teach the kids, simple, in a simple way, in a way that become very good right away. And I love those balls because you are used to it. I was teaching this last week a girl, you know, 7.5 years old from Orlando. They came down to Clearwater, you know, because I coached them before. And I was having this girl really hit a hard as he could, with so much tossing and getting to the ball and pulling from the racket, you know, across, you know, and on a windshield wiper rather than going forward. And every ball, when she was doing that, was going in the court. And she loved it. In the way back to Orlando during the 2-hour drive, she told, you know, her father, he said, "This was my best day ever." And it's just, we were playing, the father brought, no, the orange balls, because that was for, well, not just her age, but now she's moving into the 8 to 10-year-old, you know? And mm-hmm. So it works at every level, and it's great that they have designed these small courts. Yeah, I know a guy from England that actually invented the thing, and he was doing a clinic that I went to, Nick Bollettieri's. You know, and the name of the program is Evolve 9. And the guy loves, you know, also my system, because it shows the kids how to develop faster. Not only that, to love the game from the beginning, because they are playing tennis instead of, like, playing baseball, you know, inside the court. It's so different. Yeah.
I want to mention to Lisa, because I know Lisa's been involved very heavily in the discussion about where these courts should be mandated or not for the, you know, 8 and 10 years old. And we know the opinions are all over the board on that. You know, some people really like it. Some people are not a big fan. But I think what we can all agree on is that using these balls in the smarter courts can definitely be used in development, you know, for most kids on the early going. So I don't think the question is so important is, you know, whether it should be mandated or not. You know, I mean, that's important for somebody to decide. But for, as NTN, you know, that's not going to be a decision we make. But we are able to use those, and we would use them even if they weren't mandated as tools. They are good tools. It's just a matter of how you implement them, you know, is our opinion on that, I think.
And I wanted to add to that I use the softballs even with adults sometimes just to slow it down and let them see the spin of the ball. But, again, if you turn them sideways, and this is what's gone wrong, Lisa, in my book I will trace this. Oscar's tennis methodology, open stance, has been used since the beginning of tennis. People will say, oh, they hit reverse forehands today, or the bolo shot that Nadal hits over his head. Well, I've got pictures in the book of them doing it in the 19th century. They called it the lift shot. And all the top pros almost since the beginning of time, Kramer, Tilden, Wentworth, who won 7 Wimbledons, I believe, and you see him at, he hits exactly over the shoulder with a wrap, open stance. We've got pictures of them that I'll publish in this book, and people are going to be shocked. And tennis is a weird sport, and I can't figure out why the hierarchies. We had them in quick start in 2010.
John, not getting to a dissertation and blaming people. Let me just tell you, Lisa, that I spoke to Jack Kramer, okay, and then he agreed that that's the way he played. Although he was teaching, you know, the linear, he played the circular motion. He hit a lot of topspin. He pulled across like that. And then let me tell you one thing. Now that you mentioned about the little courts and all that, one of the person who said, no, you don't need the little courts, and he's saying they shouldn't be mandated and all that, you know, is Wayne Bryan, who his two sons are the best in the world, okay, you know, in doubles, and they have the world records and all that. Well, because he didn't use it to develop his kids, because at the time, you know, he knew my techniques and he coached him with the later backhand track the ball and all that. And then I was at one clinic, you know, where Wayne Bryan in California, he was doing a wonderful presentation. I went over and I congratulated him on the court. And he pointed to me and he said, I learned it from you. So all these things, we don't have to go blame. And let me tell you, talking about, you know, the hierarchy, you know, Patrick McEnroe changed his forehand because the coach, John McEnroe, showed him my book, my first book, in 1991. And he went to Australia, Patrick, after changing his forehand and practicing topspin and open stance, he went to Australia and he beat Boris Becker in the first round and got to the semifinals. And he told me personally, he said, Oscar, if you had been my coach, I would have been one of the top players in the world. And then and his brother John was one of the best warriors ever, by the way. And so there's history behind, but it takes time to change, you know, people, and especially, unfortunately, sometimes people feel like they're wrong. And I don't want to make them feel wrong. I say, no, let them these new things and try them and see if they work for you. That's what we're really doing in Atlanta. We're trying not to fight the system, not to fight, you know, conventional tennis. It's get the coaches and say, look, this is easier for the kids. Give it a try. This is easier for an adult that is starting. So, and then, by the way, when people get to Tennis Kids for Life, you know, and they get to the website, they should look at, you know, the events tab and go to that. Otherwise, they won't find the MTM clinics. We call them MTM clinics or MTM schedule, you know, who is talking over there. So,
yes, Oscar, that's what I agree, and that's sort of what I was trying to say. You know, we don't need to get into the politics of where you should have it or not, but the fact that we can use these tools, you know, to make better players as tools as we train, right?
Yeah, absolutely. On any court, any size, we love it. We love kids, and we want to help them. We love you know, kids that they are better players too, and they want to progress to higher levels. I have had, like, from Brazil, over 12 players in full scholarships in the U.S. They earn full scholarships in the U.S., and that's what we want to do. You know, we want the U.S. now to have the success that I had, you know, in Europe and in the Far East and in South America. You know, it's something that people can go to our websites and see, and a lot of it is totally free, except, you know, my DVDs. You know, so there is a lot of future here, Lisa.
Well, I think it's fantastic. So we're down to about our last 15 minutes. Let's talk specifically about what this weekend's conference is going to be. It's a 3-day conference. It starts on Friday. And I know that that you guys gave out the link at the beginning of the show. Do you want to give that again, the website, so people can get more info? But really, what, you know, if you guys could talk about what the goal is this weekend.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's okay. It begins Friday from 9:30 to 12:30. We're having a coaches clinic. You know, parents who are coaching their kids, anybody's welcome to attend. It will be held at Fieldstone Tennis Center in Cumming, Georgia. I guess that's Cumming, Georgia. And Oscar's going to give a presentation on the future of tennis instruction. You'll see Mommy, Daddy, and Me Tennis from probably the lady who I think should be running the 10 and under tennis program, Susan Nardi. She's the best coach I've ever seen with little kids. It's just amazing. She applies these techniques. Then we're going to have a coach's session on how to run a clinic, you know, with various people. Lucille Beauchet is flying in from California, from Oxnard, California. And that's from 9:30 to 12:30. But we will be using students, having players' clinics, beginners, intermediates, and advanced from 9:30 to 11 a.m., where we'll actually go on court and use these techniques. So we'll divide them up. So if you got some advanced players, you want to bring them in, go ahead on Friday. Now, a lot of the kids will be in school who are juniors, but that's why we're doing Saturday and Sunday. 1:30 to 5 p.m., again in Cumming, Georgia, we're having a coaches' clinic. I'll be talking about the history of tennis instruction. Chuck will introduce smart targets for better tennis. Russell Grogan from Beaumont, Texas, is flying in to present on-court drills for the mental game. We'll have coaches' certifications if anybody wants to find out about how you get certified. We don't have a yearly membership. We have a lifetime membership, which identifies you as a coach who believes in the simplification of tennis using a proven modern tennis methodology. And then from 5 to 6:30, guess what? Bring out your kids, preschoolers, 6 to 9 beginners, 9 to 12 beginners, 9 to 16 intermediates, advanced teens. After school, bring them on in. We're going to be on court until 6:30 that night. At 7 to 8:30, again, it'll be a Fieldstone Players Clinic for beginners, intermediates, advanced. It's at tenniskidsforlife.wordpress.com, and you'll see the Atlanta conference. If you just Google Tennis Kids for Life, it'll come up. But the website is tenniskidsforlife.wordpress.com. Saturday, we're moving to South Fulton Tennis Center in College Park, Maryland. And we'll have
College
all kinds
Park,
of...
Georgia. College Park, Georgia.
College Park, Georgia, right. Yeah, okay. And 9 to 12, we'll have advanced 10 and under clinics. So if you got advanced little kids playing tournaments, this is the time to bring them. We'll be on the clay. We'll also have on-court demos with, you know, various youth showing how easy it is to correct strokes using this method. It's a fine feel finish. It's a very instinctual, very natural method, uncomplicated.
Yeah, let me add one thing. There's Sam Kennedy, who is a very famous coach here, and he's helping a ton of kids. He's coming, you know, in the morning. He's bringing also a lot of his kids, and then... Yeah, and having a lot of participation there. And Lisa, after John explains the whole schedule, please tell about the cost, because it's a minimal cost. I think some things, you know, being charged like $15 for the day.
It's like $35 if you want to go to all 3 days, Friday, Saturday,
and Sunday. Days. Good. John, continue then now, because we were on Saturday morning.
Right. And then after the Saturday morning, the Advanced 10 and Under Clinic, we'll take a break for lunch, come back at 1 o'clock to 3:30. We're going to have a high school coaches workshop with Steve Milano, who's president and head of the High School Tennis Association for the United States. And he's going to explain how you coach high school tennis, you know, on-court drills for new players, experienced players. That's an area of my interest because I'm the girls' tennis coach at Nordhoff High School in Ojai, California, which is one of the top tennis towns where they hold the famous Ojai tournament every year. And then 4 to 5 p.m., you know, we're going to have Iztok Bombeck give a long-term plan for junior development and high performance. And these are people with proven track records. 5 p.m., we're going to have a roundtable discussion with coaches. And then Sunday is pretty much, there you go, Kids Day clinics. I think kids 10 and under might get in free on that one. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yeah, and that is with Wes Fuller, who is also a very known coach, and he has his own radio show, also a website, you know, and he also excels with minorities, you know, just like, yeah, Sam Kennedy does also. And so, continue, John.
That's at Richard Craig Park on Sunday. We move over to Richard Craig Park at McDonough, Georgia, if I got that Southern pronunciation right. And so, yeah, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., Kids Day clinics. We'll take lunch, then come back at 1, eat and drink like the pros with Paige Love. She's a well-known nutritionist there in the Atlanta, in the Georgia area. She's going to give us the latest data on nutrition and, you know, and hydration and all the, and separate the myths, talk about the gluten controversy, things like that, and explain all that. And then, of course, I guess you're on at 2:30 to 3:30.
I am, absolutely.
And then at 4 p.m., so you'll get to, you'll be, hopefully you'll come early that day. And I'd love to get you on court, too, and film you so you can talk about it. And then you take a lesson from Oscar, a special experience. And go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, Lisa, while we're talking about that, I just want to give you a shout-out and thanks for all the things you've done to help parenting as they're going through the process, you know, parents as they go through the process of helping their kids and all. You've just been an invaluable, you know, such an invaluable resource for all of us there that are smart enough to take advantage of it.
Yeah,
thank you.
And then
that's
at 4
very
p.m.,
sweet.
Yeah, we'll have coaches' clinics again, you know, coaches' certification, and roundtable discussion. And this ties back into what, you know, your original question. Why aren't U.S. players at the level, given we spend 100 times what other countries do? And I have people say, oh, you know, they're hungrier than our kids. Well, I can tell you, nobody was hungrier than some of the kids I saw. I saw Coco Vanderweij play as a 12-year-old. I saw, you know, as head pro, where we held many, you know, big junior tournaments, I saw these players come through. I saw Jack Sock as a 12-year-old. I hit with Jack Sock, actually, when he was 12-year-old, you know, just warming him up for a tournament and things like that. So, I mean, I watched these kids develop over the years, and the biggest impediment, I truly believe, is if you're teaching them something that's contrary to the end result, how can they have to unlearn it? And think how much hard it'd be to go ahead and tell, if you look at Kim Clijsters on YouTube at 8 and 9 years old, she hits no different than she did as a 28-year-old world champion winning the U.S. Open.
Okay. Super, John. Yeah. How many more minutes do you have, Lisa? Because I want to add something for you and for everybody.
Yeah, we've got about 6 more minutes, so feel free.
Okay, John, let me get in now. One of the things that I'm going to emphasize, you know, which is very important when you teach kids, is the having the ability to stay in present time. We have, when we think too much, we get out of present time. And people, and kids love to be not only in present time, they love to feel the ball, they love to focus, you know, on things that are natural that, for them, that are instinctive. So one of the biggest thing is how easily it is to take a kid out of present time, and that's when they don't like tennis. When they stay in present time and they succeed, and they are doing things that are natural to them, and also they are, you know, effective, you know, and can become powerful too, very powerful, you know, which is one of the things that was emphasized with Kevin Anderson, who you saw beat Murray yesterday. You know, the guy is from South Africa, but he has spent like 10 years in the United States. And my friend, you know, Mike Daly, was able to change his game to conform to what we believe, the simplicity of it, you know, and how feel is so important. That's why they work without the ball, playing with the hand over the neck, you know, with, you know, from they do it even at this level that he's at. He just beat the number three player in the world.
Right.
Well, Oscar, I'd like to really support what you're saying there, because, you know, like from working with my kids, especially when they get on the bigger and bigger stages, you know, that staying in present time, staying focused, and, you know, not wanting to get ahead, not trying to do things too fast is one of the biggest challenges that they face.
Absolutely, yeah. Unfortunately, in school, we are taught to think. And the kids, after 10 years old, they usually like thinking too much, you know. But it's just to be able to be yourself and to be in present time, to watch and observe what is happening very clearly. And there is methods to do that, and I will show that.
It sounds to me, just listening to all three of you describe the method and the experiences that you guys have had on the court with young players and more mature, developed players as well, that by keeping the movement and the stroke and the technique instinctual, that it really eliminates, or maybe eliminates is too strong a word, reduces the need for so much mental coaching, because by doing what comes naturally, you don't have to think too much. You instinctively move and put the ball where it's going to be to your best advantage. Am I stating that correctly, or am I oversimplifying?
Yeah, you are. And I can add, the people are very creative. I'm so surprised every day with every student. People are so creative. So if you give them the ability to find that it's easy, that they can stay, be themselves, they be natural, you know, do what is instinctive, they develop as incredible players, because and they learn like the smart tactics also, so they don't risk too much, or they have an idea what to do. Then what happens is, once on court becomes small, in the court of the opponent becomes so big, it's like a viewpoint, you know, so we change viewpoints.
Right.
And so it's exactly what you said. You know, we give them certain paths that help the kinetic chain. We absolutely work with the kinetic chain. You know, and the kinetic chain can become so simple and so A to B, instead of having to go from A to B, they have to go through Z, you know, C, D, E, and then, you know, they get to B. You know, no, it's a straight path, it's simple. Okay, it's natural, it's efficient, it's effective. Okay, and it becomes powerful, by the way. You saw that with
That's
Anderson
great.
Yesterday.
Yeah, what an awesome match. It was really surprising, and especially listening to the commentators during the match, you know, who were waiting for Anderson to tighten up, and, you know, they kept saying, is he going to be able to finish? He's had these two sets to love leads before and has tightened up and ended up losing. So to see him be able to stay focused and in the moment and close out that match was really incredible.
Oh, that tiebreaker was amazing. Yeah, just
amazing.
To tell you quickly, the harder you hit the ball with this system, the more it goes in.
Yeah.
You saw it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all three of you for joining us today. I'm looking so forward to meeting you in person this weekend. And to my listeners, please go to the website. It's tenniskidsforlife.wordpress.com, and you'll see the information on this weekend's conference. And if you're in Atlanta or around Atlanta, I hope that I get a chance to meet you on Sunday while I'm there. But in the meantime, guys, again, thank you so much for what you do, and I'm thrilled to be part of the process here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
and that
you,
was one
Lisa.
Of the best summations of what modern tennis methodology was that you made at the end there. That was really brilliant.
Wonderful, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Just put my name on it.
Yeah, and then And then tell people to go to the events tab when they go to the website, because that's the only way they're going to find all this information, events.
Events. Yeah. Okay, great. So events. Go to the website, click on events, and hopefully I will see all of you this coming weekend at Oscar's Conference, the Modern Tennis Methodology Conference in Atlanta. In the meantime, have a great week, everybody. I hope you get out on the courts, and stay tuned to hear about our move-in activities at Santa Clara University next week. Thanks, all, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.